Greetings. Hi, my name is Mark Levy, and I was a student of Ted Green. I studied with him in the 70s and when I was a teenager, and then again in the 90s. I taped every session, every lesson in the 90s. I studied with him for about three and a half years, somewhere between 91 and 94, 95, and I taped every lesson, and I'm more than happy to share them with you. Please realize that they're totally unedited and clearly for non-commercial educational use only. And I hope you learn something from this great, great teacher and guitarist and person. And realize I'm just an enthusiastic student, so I probably ask a lot of dumb questions, but you see what a patient man he is with me. So anyway, enjoy and thank you.
This is a test. It's testing. We're fine. January 27th, Mozart's birthday, 1992. Second lesson with Ted Green. Sitting in his waiting room and filled with all these beautiful books, great books. Anyway, we'll go from here. See how it goes. Bye bye. They didn't
You're
do it right.
You've never had even
it
all-
didn't work. The tone control, when I had him put it on, It like I lost all the tone thing and it was real deep and
okay, we have to do music tonight.
Sure.
For your benefit, I mean, I can sit and play guitars. I don't mind, but
maybe this could be an ongoing thing. You know,
I'll just peek in and see what the situation is because 05 is sweet for jazz. Well, actually, let's hear what 02 sounds like in your circuit right now, if that's in fact what you've got. Where you have some tape and
There.
Okay, tonight is January 27th. It's Mozart's birthday, as correctly stated by Mark. And we're looking at the Telecaster, and when it comes to action, the first order of business is to talk about where the truss rod should be.
Mm-hmm.
Many times there's too much clearance between when let's just start like this. The neck isn't straight. It's got a scoop in the middle.
Uh-huh.
One way to measure it is you take a fresh piece of Kleenex and run your hands holding it down the third string, for instance, and you can feel if it's kinked. Very seldom do you ever find a string that's bent.
Really?
But if you do, then the test won't be accurate, obviously, because we need a straight edge, and a string is almost, you know, 99.9% of the time or more, it's going to be a straight edge.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to find a damaged one. Some people damage them because they lean it against something overnight and it's pressing real hard on it.
Sure.
Or a string comes out of the package kinked and they just don't notice, or they're too in a hurry when they get it out and they bend it.
Mm-hmm.
But generally these plain strings are not kinked. So you press down, let's say on string three, we'll use that as a model, on the first fret, on the last fret.
Mm-hmm.
If the string is straight and the neck is straight, then it'll rest on every fret.
Mm-hmm.
It would actually touch every fret,
okay,
because they'd both be straight.
Gotcha.
However, the repairmen say, and some they have a point to an extent, that if you're touching, say, fret one, playing G sharp, there'll be a little clearance between the fret where A would be pressed down, the second fret, because the bridge height comes up, the strings gradually rise as they leave the fingerboard, right? But they say there's not enough, so you'll get too much rattle.
Okay.
My opinion is that with a thick enough string, you don't get much at all.
Okay.
Sometimes none. And it's not audible if your guitar is set up well. So we try to lower, I don't know if you can see it, eye level now, but that string is
pretty,
see that
pretty
third
high
string?
Uh-huh.
Right, look right in the middle of the neck where I'm touching it with my pinky.
Right,
you could probably slip five pieces of paper under.
Yeah, I see that.
Maybe 10. I'd like to slip just one or two.
Okay.
So to do that, you tighten the truss rod. You go clockwise. You might say, how do I know what's enough?
Yeah.
You keep running this kind of test. You get, you face a light, like a lamp.
You
sit on the floor if you need to, or in a chair. And you get your eyes down at playing level.
Right.
And you rotate it a lot of different angles to teach yourself about the deception of light.
Mm-hmm.
At some angles, it'll look like that thing has tons of clearance.
Right.
Others, you'll say, God, it doesn't look like there's any.
That's what I was trying to do with the every string as far as evenness.
Okay. What you do, that's one reason why you touch the string, too. When you can see, I can see it moving so much that I know I'm not fooling myself. But there is a lot of clearance.
And the truss rod's in the back?
Truss rod's right here in the front.
Oh, okay.
So you've removed the pickguard again.
Okay.
Once your neck is very close to being so where it's just a few pieces of paper at the most that could get under the string, there's a lot of clearance on that. You put easy 10 pieces of paper if they're thin.
Right.
Paper. Okay. So once you've got that, then you want to lower your bridge action.
Mm-hmm.
By then, you may not be able to because your strings might be so low already, but if they seem... By the way, you'll know also that you've gone too far for your given fret job, because some fret jobs are better than others.
Right.
If the first few frets rattle, I don't mean on the open string. Actually fretted. Like if you get a lot of rattle acoustically.
Uh-huh.
Notice if I hit this gently, we don't get much rattle.
Right.
There's a little.
Uh-huh.
It isn't like you'd hear that and say, gee, that's a rattling sound.
Right.
Not at all. I have to hit it hard to even approach. Getting that rattle. So normal. You don't hear any if normal.
Right.
And for jazz, you wouldn't hear.
Mm-hmm.
When you tighten it, if it's too much, you're going to get this. Even by hitting it light. Much more than up in here.
Mm-hmm.
You get the bad rattles in here when the neck is dished.
I gotcha.
Because this is actually lower sometimes than this.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
if you're lucky enough not to have a big bump up in here. Some necks have a bump at the end. Because of the tension of holding it on with the screws.
Do I need a fret job at that? I've noticed some frets that like almost hurt my fingers around the 5th or 7th fret, around the G string.
Uh-huh. They're fairly squared off, which isn't the greatest. A fret person would say you definitely need a fret job. A player might say live with it as long as you can, because why not if it's not killing you, if it's not a problem. You might want, before they do a fret job, you might want to have them round the frets.
Crowning them.
Yeah, you don't have a lot of fret left to do that with.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, there's enough so that you can do something to make it less square.
Right.
That's what's bugging you.
Well, yeah, it feels rough in some of the frets. They're not very smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are replaced, the standard frets is the ones that you would recommend? Or
not necessarily. Uh-huh. You might want to go to the huge frets. I have one telly with huge frets. And
you like it?
At first, when I play it, I can't slide well. I get hung up on it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're very rounded, so once I adjust to it, I can. They sure give a great sound.
Uh-huh.
Big frets have tremendous sustain. It's a new article in the Brand New Guitar Player on all these things.
Mm-hmm.
They make it sound like the big frets don't do that much for sustain, but I find they really do help sustain and tone. They seem to make the tone rounder and crisper at the same time. They seem to add everything desirable to
sound.
So they're a nice thing, but yet the feel of small frets, like when you, did you hold this thing? When you play these, now these are not crowned either, but yet it's easy to slide around on it. So it's not an obstacle.
Yeah.
It feels pretty decent.
Oh, yeah.
I must say that I still prefer that to feeling those big frets hit my face when I slide.
Uh-huh.
So it's a trade-off. You almost have to decide which is more important to you.
Right.
Sliding feel and living with a little less sustain and tone from the frets.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely an increase in that, in the sustain and the roundness of the tone.
Okay.
I could pretty honestly... 99%
and is it worth it to fret this guitar?
I wouldn't do that first. I would just have them crowned if it's not too much. If they say they'll just put a fret file on each one that's scooped out in the middle for crowning, maybe they could do that. I know a few guys that do fairly inexpensive fret jobs. Like some of the guys are only about $100 to $150 instead of $200.
How's Carruthers? Are they decent or?
Well, it depends. If John works himself,
he's great.
I think John knows what he's doing. I don't trust anybody else there. They may be good, but I hate to say it, man, but a friend of mine had something done there and he's not real happy about it.
They did this and I was sort of treated sort of shitty.
Really? How did they treat you, man?
Like, they didn't have time, you know, like I wanted it this way, and since I wanted it this way, it's like almost double, you know what I mean? Like,
we'll do it for you, but then we're going to have to charge you extra?
Yeah, or
what did
like,
you want this? What do you mean, want
Well, I went in with this diagram, and I said, look, can you, while you're at it with the bridge, can you just check and see if this diagram is right? You know, and it's like, you know, the attitude I felt was, you know, it's $50 if we do it.
$20 if you watch.
Yeah, right.
I don't like that, but it was John himself giving off that vibe?
No.
His customer?
Yeah, one of his guys.
Well, I wouldn't go back to him if you weren't treated right.
That's right.
Give somebody else your business. John's always treated me real well, and I hate to do that to him, but it's the truth, man. If they don't
I'm into
right,
that, the consumer.
We deserve at least some courtesy. So, after you've got the neck straight, then you lower your axe as low as you can. Mm. Then, the next thing would be nut height. This nut height right now is a little unbearable.
Mm-hmm.
Unbearable to me means if I press this hard, you can see I'm torquing my thumb, I'm using a lot of tension.
Mm-hmm.
I should be able to get F minor 7 down. That's
right.
Bar.
Right.
Bar. Not even beginning to get it.
It's bitch.
I've got to go like way out here and press much harder. And even then, if I light up, just see where my thumb pressure is?
My
ball of my thumb there?
Right.
So I'm pressing pretty hard, right? You see my finger on the fret?
Yeah.
I'm still not getting it because I'm not at exactly the right angle. Shouldn't be that critical.
Right.
This thing is about 8,000 millimeters, billion, gazillion millimeters. I mean, it's way too high.
Okay.
I'm saying in an exaggerated sense. However, when you straighten the neck and lower the action, it might feel like the way you wish all women felt and stuff. I mean, it might just be real sweet. Good day. Good evening. Are you, like, exceedingly early tonight? So then...
Right. We went through a little bit of that exercise. But I see. I tried lowering it, and it didn't... I had problems with grabbing stuff, you know?
Like, try this. This is a very, very low nut action.
Mm-hmm.
See if you have problems with that.
Oh, no, very easy. Compared to that. Yeah.
Oh, so you meant you still have problems with this the way it's set, not when it was too low. It wasn't too low for you.
No.
But this is still too high for you.
Yeah, that's too high. But when I had the action, I tried bringing it all down, and I had problems playing.
What kind of...
Grabbing like melody lines, possibly. Okay.
Not sure I'm going to understand that.
Well, I'd have to qualify it.
Okay, well,
two.
Think about it.
Sure. So, okay, great. I'll work on that this upcoming week.
Next point, the music.
Mm-hmm.
How's your music doing?
Good. I have some questions, but we'll go into what I did.
Yes. First what you did, then the question.
Sure. I went over a couple things. I did But Beautiful, and that was tough.
But did I give you that arrangement?
Yeah.
That's
a
tough
one. It was tough.
That's a tough one.
I have it. I memorized it. So I also did the voicing, the lower set, but I also did the upper set, too. And I wanted to do all of them, but I just couldn't. With the inversions, I do that when I first get on my guitar. In the morning.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Get that tedious stuff out of there.
Yeah, and it warms my hands up and stuff. And then I started to, and I didn't put enough time, a full analysis of it. I don't have a whole bunch of questions right now because I spent so much time just getting
just
under my hands.
Just the physical playing, okay. That's fair enough.
I had to discontinue chord melodies for about a day and a half because of my index finger.
It's hurting, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff here, man.
That's okay. No, that's okay. It's growing. It's a growing thing. But basically, then I notated it. I wrote out the old changes. I started to write your changes out.
Take notes for future reference, juxtaposing them up
right
to each other.
Seeing what the melodic motif was of like a minor second up to a fifth, and then back down, a major second, and then a chromatic line that seems to be prevalent within the piece. Did sort of a Shankarian study, quick one, you know, of tonal centers of the melody, of what you think you hear, you know.
You think of the tonal centers of that piece. I'm going to switch back to my beast here.
Yeah, yeah. And so
I don't think of these as tonal centers, but they are, I guess, if you want them to be. One, five of two, two, back to one via its own diminished.
Right.
or three as a temporary stop. Ba, ba, boom. 2-5 of 2. But then it's a dominant two. Mm-hmm. So all I'm thinking of is chord roots.
Right.
I don't think of any, it's all in G so far in my head.
I wasn't thinking harmonically, I was thinking melodically.
Oh, okay. You did a melodic analysis.
Yes. A little bit, you know. It's like, so what your ear would hear in the melody, sort of, you know, like.
That's interesting. The way I usually recommend, mm-hmm. Maybe you'll teach me something, mm-hmm. maybe there's a different way I should be more cognizant of mm-hmm. these days, is home key is nice to know. For instance, on one string, mm-hmm. C the 9.
Right.
However, what I'm really thinking of, and I think it's a better level for my purposes in life, is 9.
Right.
Diminished tone. Diminished 7th chord.
Uh-huh.
In this case, 7 flat 9 is even more appropriate, like the flat 9. Of the
right,
eight.
Right.
This is part of the root of that E chord. Mm-hmm. And I see the 9.
Okay.
Fifth is coming up of the G chord.
Right.
Flat 7 of the 3 chord. On each chord,
oh, I see.
Of
in relationship,
top.
I see.
The third of this chord.
I see.
9 on top.
Chord. Right, right.
9, 5, 5, 3, flat 7, flat 3.
So you're, it's all relationship harmonically.
To the chord of the moment, yeah.
Okay.
Because that way I can, like if I see the flat 7 on top, I say, well, do you want this?
Uh-huh.
Do you want that? You know, different chords have the flat 7
right.
on top.
I just try to look at it just various ways, you know what I mean?
That's right. Well,
So
your way was what now? Maybe I can do something.
Well, I just took the melody.
Right.
And I said, well, what are the tones in the melody that are emphasized rhythmically or repeatedly or length? Like, you know, and like I see like an A and then an F natural, a B, a G, a D, and just sort of hear, try and relate that to hearing.
So it'd be like, right.
Because you have like, you know, I just wrote it out here, and there might be in long tones.
This is the Shane Carrion way. That's
sort of,
right,
yeah.
So. That's exactly what I just came up with.
Yeah.
All right.
But, I mean, again, I'm looking at a whole bunch of different ways now. I'd like to relate that to the harmony on top of it.
Yeah, the harmony is what will get you through the piece
mm-hmm.
to play it either on the job, you know, think 1, mm-hmm. maybe 3, half diminished
right.
to 6, to 2. I mean,
mm-hmm.
as a chord melody guy or a solo guitarist, then you have
right.
to know what tone's on top all the time. That's why I chose that way. There's so many mm-hmm. things. You could say, well, what's the distance between the adjacent tones?
Yeah.
That would be quite fascinating.
All right, right.
But is it useful on the gig, man? Do I?
No.
I mean, this is cool, but I don't know if you'll use it on the gig yet. This is closer to being practical.
Mm-hmm. You
can kind of do, like, Sonny Rollins might be, he's famous for thematic improv,
mm-hmm.
you know, so he might take that
mm-hmm.
and turn it upside down and make his whole solo based on things like that, but going
right.
this way.
Uh-huh.
So we'd say, yeah. Sonny, you got a new melody and it's got something going on. Was there a thought? And he said, yeah, I inverted the structure.
Right. I know. You could take it and go dissect it to death, you know. And the bottom line is music. I also realized...
If you have 10 minutes one day,
mm-hmm.
and it's Heinrich Schenker mm-hmm. or James Van Heusen, go with James.
Yeah.
Just go back to the music and play the jam.
Right, right.
Would you rather walk in a club and hear a guy explaining a lecture on Shane Carrion Melodics?
Nah.
Or can't play the tune?
No. But I think what I'm trying to do, what I was trying to do here is hear those things. You know, I mean, not technically.
But see, it's
but
not, the hearing comes mm-hmm. after the seeing and mm-hmm. the playing.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can't hear it till you've played it enough.
Right.
If I say, sing me the flat 9 of the 6th chord,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to be easy for him. I
right.
have to analyze and go, let me find the root of the 6th.
Right, right.
And let me go up a flatted 9 from there. But mm-hmm. if you play the tune, bum, 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 you say, I mm-hmm. hear a Wes Montgomery, you know, that tone.
Right.
Loves a 13 flat 9 on 6.
Mm-hmm.
So we've just gone.
Mm-hmm.
like that song Sherry when you're a little kid.
Yeah.
Right. Girls Don't Cry and all this kind of thing. So it's a six dominant, but hearing that flat nine, but not in the Russian sense of flamenco sense, hearing it in the jazz.
Okay.
That comes from seeing the board and playing it, and the hearing is automatic. You can't help but start to hear it. Mm-hmm. Don't even pursue it as such. You're a busy guy. Just learn to play it.
I
memorize
agree.
The changes now. If I say changes to Bella Beautiful, let's play it long meter up here. Wee,
right.
Three, six. Two minor. Coming up diminished. Mm-hmm. That's what you want.
Yeah, exactly.
This is beautiful, but just not as top priority. That's
okay. Okay, I can dig it.
I'm glad you're sharing this. I'm telling me that you're doing these things.
But, you know, as I said, and I wanted to see the form, and I wanted to do a harmonic analysis, and I started, but I didn't complete it.
And this tune is A, B, A, C, yeah?
That's what I had. I had A, B, A, B, but in parentheses I had a C question mark, and that was my question to you. Is it a B or a C?
Well, let's see now. It could be A, B, A, B, C. That'd be a rare thing. Let's see, so the second time. Oh yeah, well, see, there is a difference. It's not like
little.
B. The B section was this time it goes.
To the high point of the tune.
Whatever it does.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's A B A C. That's a common form. It's called rondo form. If you keep it going, right? A B A C A D.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. About the last movement of the symphony.
Mm-hmm. So. That I did.
Now you see, you had some questions for me, maybe on this stuff. Maybe not.
Well, yeah, I did. One thing I realized I need to discuss is I really don't know much about diminished chords, their place in the world.
I'm glad you're being honest about that.
Stuff like that.
There are three main functions. Mm-hmm. Three main functions only. Of the so-called diminished chord. Two of them go back towards one when they resolve.
Mm-hmm.
The third one doesn't. It goes towards two. Just getting the paper here, Mark. Oh, yes, we have not done that. Good. Okay. Some of those so-called diminished chords are really not, but they're really instead...
Seventh?
Seven...
Flat nines.
Thanks.
Yes.
Okay, so let's say, what key you want to do this in?
G?
G.
Okay. Sure.
We're in G.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say we put this chord down in the key of G.
Okay.
On the fourth and fifth frets, right? You can bar it or you can use four fingers. Let's give Mark some electricity here. It deserves it.
Okay.
We should have something. Great. Mm-hmm. Close enough, it sounds like to actually play. Hey, that's pretty damn in tune. I don't even hear the chorusing on that. So, this lives right where D7 flat 9 is. Doesn't have the root.
Right.
It's got the third and flat 7,
gotcha.
Flat 9, 5.
Uh-huh.
If you resolve it to traditional G chord, you can resolve like that. These tones will do their number. This one's close to there. So, those are a given in the old days.
Gotcha.
And this can go up or down. We'll just bring it down for now.
Right.
If you resolve to a non-traditional one, like a Wes Montgomery, G6. Stretch that this note could leap in the time.
Okay.
If it's going to dominant, if it's in a bluesy thing,
right.
G13 and up to 9.
You know. Gotcha.
If it's going up, traditional, breaking the rules, these are supposed to do that, remember? Law of half steps, this kind of goes there.
Okay.
There.
Okay.
But if your line is pushing you up, as in. We expect the bass to come up, and if we hear the upstairs notes come up, we wouldn't be way upset either.
Mm-hmm.
Wes, Mike, or Debussy, they add
parallelism.
Sixth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, parallelism. You really hear Debussy loves parallelism, and Wes does too.
Mm-hmm.
So these are all D7 flat 9s going to G6, for instance.
Okay.
Okay. So that's one function as a 5. It doesn't matter how it's voiced.
Mm-hmm.
You take it to various kinds of G chords. It's on the 4 frets where it sounds like a D7 with a root up a half step to the flat 9. Any problem with that concept so far?
I understand it as a 5.
That's right. So now out of 12 frets in one key, since we can place it on 12 different frets before we repeat ourselves an octave up, meaning like that this, is just a repeat of that.
Right.
Only 12 other frets, I mean 12 frets total. Out of the 12, four of them are already out of the way.
Right.
Because we've got
a third. Right.
Each one would be...
Right?
So okay. When you hear A diminished in the key of G, it's just D7 flat 9.
Uh-huh.
And you see a C diminished, like George Gershwin, if you wrote...
Someone walked over
right. Right. 5. It's
right.
Just going to G.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they may call it C diminished 7, they're well-intentioned, but they're misnaming it for function. It's just a D7.
Okay, because I had a question with the, here. You went from... Two, okay, yeah, you go 1, 6, 2, and then 1 diminished.
Mm-hmm.
What, how, I'm just trying to relate how that
We're about
worked.
To arrive there.
Okay,
your,
good.
Your brain is okay. In resonance with the universe tonight, so you're just a little bit ahead there. So
okay.
Come back just 1 second. Mm-hmm. If you go, this is fairly profound to me, and I hope it'll hit you, but if it doesn't, we'll say it a different way. If you come up a half step from a 5 chord with the same shape as the 7 flat 9, now, this is a different chord than the 5, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't think this is going to go to 1, but it does. It also goes to 1. When you hear Aretha or something.
That's way cool.
So when we... That B, if it goes to G,
like coming down a half step.
No, sure. We've gone up. We've gone up a half step.
Yeah, but may, right. Would it be functioning as a 7?
You've lost me. A 7th degree of the key?
Yeah.
Well, that's what a 5 is, like
right.
A 7, right?
Okay. Right. Gotcha.
How about let's look at the tones. A root.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so it'd be a 1.
Flat 3.
Flat 3. Right.
Flat 5. Now, right away.
That's right.
What do we have if we start with 3 voices? What kind of chords do we have there? What's this chord, Mark?
That's a major, a G major.
And so what's this chord?
Minor.
And this chord?
Minor, 7 flat 5.
Wait, wait, we only have 3
minor.
Minor flat 5.
Diminished.
Thank you, sir. It's
yeah.
The diminished triad.
Right, triad, right.
So here's the fully diminished 7 when you have that double flat 7
right.
Or 6 tone in there.
Mm-hmm.
So diminished 7s on the 1 go also to the 1.
I see, which is this, because you're resolved.
They also move away from the one, I might add. They don't mind going. But they sure like to go.
Right.
Notice it's not, this works, but really listen to the tune. You know that When You Wish Upon a Star?
Right, sure.
You heard it? So when you hear. Sounds right.
Right.
That is a diminished. The 5 is. There's our D7.
Right.
Flat 9.
Right.
The diminished is a half step above the 5.
Above.
Both
it.
Of them go to 1.
Hmm.
It's a total freak out.
That's sort of a trip.
So you could be going G, D7, flat 9, to G, 6, G. You see what my voice is?
Right, right. Yeah, you're going
go
1,
G,
5, 1.
A minor 7, G diminished 7, G. Why is this G diminished 7? Because it's G note in it.
Right.
Whatever you, fret you put on, every 3 frets you'll have that G note to show you the way.
Mm-hmm.
The other notes would be the flat 3
That's
and
amazing.
Flat 5, and the extra tone, the double flat 7.
Okay.
The flat 3 and flat 5 resolve up.
Mm-hmm.
We strain to go back to the natural overtones that are in the acoustic science, you know?
Right.
These things really want to come home a lot, especially if the lines have just done this.
Mm-hmm.
There's such a tendency.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to go in other ways. You hear Schubert and Beethoven, you know? They do their dark, surprising, or light surprising modulations, but the general tendency is so natural it was used a zillion times.
Right.
So, 8 down, 4 to go as far as fret placement on any shape.
Ah, oh, I see how you're relating.
5,
okay.
1 diminished.
And there's 1 more.
Yeah, and that's the 5 of 2, traditionally, from the time of Bach forward.
2, which would be 6.
That's right, six dominant seven with that lower ninth. So when you hear, it's like, it's going to the two chord. So when you hear,
Like E7 one, six, two, five.
Sometimes to the five, our new friend,
which is that the one diminished.
Yeah, so one. Six, two, tonic diminished, then a one.
Because I see that in a lot of tunes. I'm going, how are they doing this? It sounds good, I mean, but I don't understand how I could relate to it.
So I have a small assignment, and I'll give you a worksheet that takes this subject from scratch with some of the same info as I just said, except it won't get into anything other than the diminished function. It won't talk about the five of home or the five of two. It's going to do diminished, but there's a lot in diminished that we didn't discuss tonight. It's on the sheet, and I figure why take the rest of time. One thing you might do as an assignment, though, choose your favorite key, whatever it is that particular day, if you're in the mood for some key. Right now, let's see, I'm in the mood maybe for E-flat. E-flat usually is my good friend. I like the sound of it, so I'm going to use that.
Okay.
You put your fingers on, since that's probably the diminished seventh shape you've used the most on. Use that one at first. Just put it on, within reason, start on some very high fret, and put it on every single fret, and pretend you're in, let's say we're C. C might be your favorite, your easiest key to talk of right now. Steve?
Hi.
You're doing all right. You're struggling with this. Everybody's being patient tonight. I appreciate it. Say you're in C. This is right here.
Right.
That's that G7 flat 9, so that would go to C.
Okay.
As it turns out, this is the eight, a fret below the 5 is that extra one, the 5 of 2. So that's D minor. You can switch strings when you resolve. You don't have to stay on the same 4 string. This is the C diminished 7.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm losing you.
Okay, watch. Watch down here.
Okay, right.
Which one is this, G7 or C diminished? Just to use two of them.
C diminished?
No, C diminished has to have a C note in it.
Okay.
I need you to do this.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So that's G7, if you have that note, but we've raised this to the flat,
flat 9. Gotcha.
So resolve that to a C major with smooth voice leading. Time leave the D note in there, so you get an add 9, and not the F 2. Get rid of the F.
Okay.
That sounds kind of contemporary.
Yeah, I could see.
Not so bad. I have 10 of our students tonight. He's a fellow that likes to practice a lot, so he's already in the back there practicing. Come on back. I warned him that he'd have to share the room with you.
Gotcha. So,
so on every fret, it's going to be either a G7 flat 9
right,
or an A7 flat 9 if you're in C.
Okay, would be, the G would be because it's the 5.
That's right.
And the A would be the 5 of 2.
And then there's another function that was somewhat
of the relevant. The 1 diminished.
Yes. The way it works is whenever you're on those 5s, it diminishes above them and the 6 is below them.
Okay.
It becomes something you'll just see, because you'll see your basic chords, like there's A7, you'll see the flat 9, you'll go...
Okay. So...
What I want you to, in each place, I want you to resolve.
To resolve to...
Traditional chords first, then, if you want to get a little contemporary, you can put... it won't be Bartok's picture on the case, but maybe just a touch of Mr. Gershwin or somebody, you know, when you go... Instead of just
trying
or something. So here's the G7 here, flat 9 of course. How do we know? Because we see our stock G7 there.
Right.
We just raised that root. So that can resolve to C add 9. You can just leave the D down.
D down.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I see. Okay. Exactly.
Exactly.
So you're here. Oh, go ahead. Ask.
Well, I'm just trying to, and maybe you're going to talk about it, so I'll let you go.
It's just every fret you're going to resolve.
Okay, so I would resolve, I would take
there are
the
only
five.
Three resolutions.
Five to one.
Five to one. One diminished to one.
And then
six dominant, seven.
To two.
That's all you do.
Okay, fine.
But start with traditional resolutions. Mm-hmm. Swap strings on the bass note if it's too hard to hold.
Mm-hmm.
Traditional means like just majors and minors.
Right.
Then maybe a step up, you might say, let's have some add nines on the majors. That sounds really contemporary.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to sound a little older in the jazz world, major nines or major sevens. Sound like from the 50s and 60s, they used lots of chords that had seven, major sevens
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
major nines.
Mm-hmm.
These are more contemporary. The add nines seem to be.
Right.
Ever since kind of Blue Album or something.
Right, exactly.
It's just been here, you know?
That's cool.
Yeah, they're cool. And on minors, you might have a minor 7, minor 9, minor 7, 11, minor mm-hmm. 11. When you resolve that A7,
okay.
you might say...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You might say, hey, there's the 5, I can't resist. You say, mm-hmm. oh, but I missed the fret with the diminished.
Okay.
And you might end up making a phrase like that. It might just pop out of your fingers. So, wow, I'm supposed to just be doing this, and I got carried away.
That's what it's all about, but isn't it? Huh?
It is. Yeah, let it happen. But make sure you, whatever key you choose to play in, make sure it's a key you're loving the sound of. If
right.
you're not happy, you're not in love with that key at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if everybody's body or nervous system or soul or whatever is attuned to keys, but I suspect it
sure.
should be. And on different days, you might be in the mood for different mm-hmm. things at different times. So I usually hunt around until I'm happy. Like,
depending on the mood I'm in.
A sounds so good right now. So, like, I can really get happiness from playing in this mm-hmm. game.
Right.
There's 5 to 1. There's
the tonic
diminished.
Mm-hmm. Super. Okay. I think I understand that. And that.
You say it to me. What you're gonna do?
Okay. I'm gonna pick
it's
a key.
So
there's 12 frets.
That's right.
Now, those 12 frets could be divided up into 4 frets per sound.
I love it.
Okay. You have a 5 of 1 sound, okay, a diminished sound, or a 5, 7 flat 9.
That's right.
Resolve that to 1.
Good. That's point one. That's 4
right.
frets.
4 frets, right. Minor thirds apart. Then you have the 2 of 5.
You've lost me when you say 2 of 5.
Or the 6 of, the 5 of 2.
5 of 2, I
yes.
like.
Yeah. You have the 5 of 2 and the same as far as location, for etc. Then you have the diminished 1 going to resolve into the 1.
That's right. Another way, another angle is that the 5, 7, 5, 9 and the tonic diminished both resolve to 1.
1.
And you just got
perfect.
6 to deal with going.
Okay.
And it's not like it'll sound astonishing as you progress on every fret,
mm-hmm.
but it won't be amusical either. There'll be some musicality to it.
Right.
Later you'll take select pieces of that stuff and use it. When you hear Bach or Beethoven using these kind of things, especially Beethoven and Mozart and later,
mm-hmm.
they use a lot of these sounds and these chords, but they don't just sit and resolve it on every fret in a row.
Of course not.
But they'll use portions if they found it they're really in love with. They might have 2 in a row. I mean, that's not unheard of.
Well, like as I said, it would help my improvisations and learning the language.
Since you asked about diminished, this
right.
is our beginning. Now, this is all level 1, primary level of common occurrence. Everything from Mozart to standards. Don't be thinking that this is the end, of course, because there's a secondary level where a lot of other great stuff resides.
Mm-hmm.
You'll not fail to remind me when you're hungry for that next level of
okay.
it, because I'll give you an assignment on it. And I do need to remember to give you this worksheet
sure.
right now on this subject.
Sure.
Mark, you know those symbols I use that I have dots and squares? Oh, yeah.
Right. You have them written right here.
That's great. So we use the diamond for the last symbol these days. Pyramid or diamond after
right.
the box.
Right, right.
Good.
I still could grab... could not grab that last chord.
Last
the E flat minor 6-9.
Let's see.
That was. I have a hard time grabbing that.
Do this. Just stretch from pinky to thumb. Okay. Now you have about the same reach as I do.
Mm.
Just stay on the case, man. It's just unfamiliarity.
Just,
And this one up here too is tough.
Is that an 11th chord?
Yeah, it's a suspend. B. Do, 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 do.
This one?
Right, yeah, the 11th.
Yeah, that's no day at the beach. Could be worse. Could be on the first fret.
Yeah.
You like Bill Evans these days?
I love him, yeah.
Okay, well, you're going to hear by the middle, by the last couple lines, you're going to hear sounds that shift you from Beethoven to Bill and back and forth, kind of. They're two of the, I mean, if you had to line up the 100 most famous musicians who you could easily say have diminished chords and its friends paid a huge part of their vocabulary. Those two are two just typical guys to mention. Bill and, Bill and Ludwig. So, I don't know, this hour just screams back.
That's okay.
It just happened.
I understand that ring when you're having fun.
So that's your assignment.
Okay, good.
We'll write a next date on this paper here.
I'm just seeing if
would you like to come back in 4 weeks? Is that a nice adjusted time for you, or is it too soon or too far away?
What I'd like is, and I don't know how your schedules eventually work into every 2 weeks, if that's possible. A month is, I think I'm putting enough time into the instrument not to waste our time. And a month seems that a lot filters out without any consistent advice.
You get up early, you told me, right?
Yes.
So you shouldn't get out of here too late, so we have to keep that in mind. And you get off work at what time?
It's flex, after 5.
And what part of town are you getting off work in?
West L.A.
Okay, so I don't want to put you in that terrible traffic.
But
can help
I could be pretty, you know, as I said, fairly flexible. If I need to cut out at 4, I can. But I would like to, I think, if it's possible, maybe not this time, but
maybe next time. I'll tell you why. It looks pretty jammed in my evening times. I guess it's gotten all jammed up in there from 7 through. Oops. I'm going to put somebody in at 10 there. Okay. I'm going to get it there. Some of these that aren't marked, I know I'm going to be putting somebody in there because they usually ask me these times. Looks like we're going to do a month from today for now, but I'll tell you what we're going to do. Let's write 2 weeks after that in now while we can, and someday. Are Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays all?
No problem.
Okay.
What if, I mean, do you have, if something clears up?
In between then and now? I can write, let me write this in.
That would be super, too. I don't know whether that happens with you, but.
Tuesday? I'm going on the wrong Tuesday. That's upsetting.
Yeah, that'd be great. You never know. I don't know whether that happens a lot with you or anything like that, but.
Every now and then, that's right. Mark. Cancellation. There's no extra E, it's just L-E-V-Y.
Why, right?
How's your sister doing these days?
I talked to her, she's doing good.
She's doing that Paris music number?
Yeah, she's going to Italy with her friend. Music there.
She's not giving you too hard of a time?
We're super, we're... Okay, these are questions for Ted from the lesson on Mozart's birthday. The 27th of January. By the way, Ted, the cricket was a star on the tape, and I wanted to know how you were still doing, if he's still there. Anyway, getting to the questions, dealing with diminished sounds, which we're working on, it's a great exercise. I'm assuming that, and I'm playing, and I'm going to try, that, of course, the one diminished and the five diminished sounds and the six, which goes to the five of two, can go and can they resolve to their relative major or minors, meaning that can the five, 7 flat 5 or diminished sound, which is another question I have,
go to instead of to 1, let's say if we're in the key of G, from D7 flat 9 to G, to E minor, okay? And the 1 diminished going to, you know, which in the key of G, be G diminished going to E minor, the 6 chord would be 7 flat 5 or the E diminished connect. Let's ask this question a better way.